The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio by Craig and Shaka. Ian and Jan will be joining us in a moment, but I'm not sure if you've heard, but Arsenal sit atop of the Premier League table. But we haven't had a chance really to talk to Jan or Ian about Arsenal over the last few days. Let's do that right now. Jan, what would you like to say about the league leaders?
I will talk about Norwegians, as I always do. I think that it's amazing. I think it's amazing to see Arsenal. I think it's amazing to see Martin Ødegaard, how he has developed after he was the wonder kid going to Real Madrid when he was 16. But in general, the balance in the Arsenal team with Saka, with everybody around them, it's unbelievable. And everybody's screaming for number nine, and Nketiah doing two goals for them. So you just get a feeling now that Arsenal could go all the way. I mean, I've got an Arsenal son who is desperate for them, but he is also like everybody else. I think when will the bubble burst? He's so afraid and nervous. But when you see them now, I saw Manchester City twice live this week, and when you see the intensity of Arsenal, you just get a feeling that at the moment that the speed, the energy, the enthusiasm around the game is better at Arsenal than Manchester City at the moment.
Yeah, and what does Odegaard say about Arteta?
Oh, he loves him, obviously. And I tried this week to tell the story about when Pep Guardiola was at Bayern Munich. He came over to me. The boy was then 16, and everybody wanted him. And he came over to me, pointed the finger at me, and said, "Get him to Bayern. I will make him the best player in the world." And I was standing there. I was a team manager for Norway at the moment. And I said, "Well, the problem is, Guardiola, you will leave Bayern." And then he said, "Oh, okay." And then he went away. So I think that when Arteta worked with Guardiola, he kind of could give him the best references on Martin Ødegaard, which is now a paradox that he's then a captain that maybe take the title away from Manchester City.
Ian, it is interesting, isn't it? Because as Jan says, Arsenal supporters and those who follow the game are waiting for the bubble to burst. But every question that is asked of this Arsenal side, they answer it unimpressively.
Yeah, and now the bookmakers have got them as the odds-on favourite, which didn't have. I think the feeling was that Manchester City would catch them, that they'd tie up in the second half of the season. Well, they're not showing any signs of stopping. It reminds me a little bit of that season where Leicester City were out in front and everybody said, "Oh, well, it's a bit of a freak. It won't happen." Remember, they went to Manchester City that year, beat them 3-1, and everybody said, "You know what? They can win the title." And I think that feeling is growing about Arsenal now after their wins against Tottenham and now Manchester United. And the way that Eddie Nketiah has just stepped into the breach left by Gabriel Jesus' injury, to the point now where everybody's wondering, well, will Jesus get back in the team whenever he's fit again? Because Nketiah looks like he might even be the heir apparent to Harry Kane for England. That's probably going a bit far at this stage, but the kid is obviously a natural goal scorer.
I don't think people... I mean, who's waiting for the bubble to burst?
No, I'm quite intrigued
by that.
I don't think people are waiting for the bubble to burst.
Well, it's almost like people are waiting for Arsenal to lose a game and people go, told you, they're going to fall away now. I don't see it. I mean, if you haven't watched Arsenal and you've seen the results and gone, and you're basing it on previous years, you go, they'll fall away. But if you're watching them... Somebody tell me what part of the team is going to all of a sudden fall apart. And Nketiah's come in, and we talked about this the other day. I think they've actually looked even better with him in the side. He actually spends a lot of time in the box, and that's why he's getting himself goals. The two wide boys, they're not going away. And obviously, injuries are a different thing, but then they've beefed up the squad with Trossard, and they've got another one or two signings. They've got a squad. Midfield's brilliant. The back two have played. The back four have played together pretty much all seasons. Zinchenko's had a little problem here and there, and the goalie's been fantastic. So, I mean, if anybody's bubble's going to burst this year, I think it might be Man City's.
Right.
But I think it's a difference. I think it's a difference, Craig. I'm not saying that when we see Arsenal, neutral people, I think it's the Arsenal fans, because you have to burn up the belief that it's possible again that Arsenal can win that. I think when, as you're saying, when we watch Arsenal, why should they burst? I mean, they look so solid. So, yes, I'm with Ian that it could be a surprise, but I don't think you can compare it with Leicester, because Leicester were much, much more a challenger and an outsider. Arsenal, they are playing fantastic football at the moment. And when you compare them with Manchester City, and when you compare Arteta with Pep Guardiola, you can say at the moment that maybe Arteta playing a better Pep play than Pep is doing at the moment.
I mean, Leicester was a phenomenon, but it showed you how much of a phenomenon it was when Ranieri got sacked the next year. So it was an unbelievable high and then an unbelievable low, because they couldn't sustain that. There's no sign. Well, even if Arsenal finish second, if that happens, it happens, right? It's not, everything's not over this year if they don't get it done. This side are not going away. This manager's not going away. These are pretty much most of them are young players. So it's not like, if there's any disappointments this year for Arsenal, it's not like they're going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. This team are here to stay, that's for sure.
Let's stay in North London, but head to Spurs. We discussed this yesterday, and I just want to get your view on it, Jan, as a striker. Harry Kane, of course, going to break Spurs' record, quite possibly going to break the all-time Premier League goal-scoring record. Does any of that matter if he doesn't win a trophy, and should he leave Spurs to try and achieve that?
This is a very interesting discussion. I tried to start that on Twitter, and people were having so a big go at me, because I said there are a lot of players for the big clubs by Manchester United and Liverpool who have won the league 3 or 4 times, and we have no clue who they are. So if that should end up that Harry Kane doesn't win a title and he still break all goal scoring records, I think that is a fantastic legacy as well. Do I think that Harry Kane would like to win a title? Of course, that Audi Cup that he got, that is not enough for him. You can see him going on the move. Bayern Munich, for different reasons, think they have a chance. I can't see him going abroad. I can see him try to stay in England to get
like Manchester United. Jan, just put yourself in his shoes. 18 months to go. How hard do you try and force a move away from Spurs to go to United, who are more likely, whether Spurs fans like it or not, to win a trophy?
Yeah, that's a difficult one, because now there's interesting, this Conte Kane. They're kind of protecting each other. If you stay and while I stay and I love you, you love me. But I think that is tempting, but I think that the most tempting thing at the time was to go to Manchester City that summer when everybody thought he would go there, and it didn't happen. There is no guarantee, and no disrespect to Manchester United, there is no guarantee that he will win a title with Manchester
what
United.
What would you do, Jan?
I would try now at the end of my career, but I would stay in England. I would absolutely stay in England, because he can make, he can break all kind of records there. But of course, he will try to get to a place where he can win a title. And he could put it up with being a club legend at Tottenham Hotspurs, and like we're saying, breaking the records. But I think that you will try at the end of your career to get at least one title.
What would you do?
Leave. Leave. I mean, I don't think he's going to throw a tantrum to try and get a move, because it was a kind of half-hearted effort a year or two ago when the Man City thing was muted. But records are there. I mean, I get it. A record's a record. We just talked about Newcastle today and what it meant to those players, those fans, that club, to be back at Wembley. That's what you play for as a player.
Yeah.
You play for those moments to walk out at Wembley, or play in a Champions League final, or win it, or play in the final game of the season to get over the line. That's what you play for. You don't play to be also-rans and break records. And I get it. If you're wearing the Tottenham blinkers, you can't see it. Maybe you can. And I get it. He might be a nice guy, right? But at the end of the day, he's one of the most talented front men on the planet, right? He is. And if I was him, this summer, I would be looking to go somewhere where there's no guarantee, because there never is, but there is a much better chance of him having success away from records with other with another club, be it Man United, be it Bayern Munich, be it Chelsea, who are looking for all these people looking for front men. If it was me, Shaq, I would want to have that opportunity.
I'm 100% with you. Listen, for me, and I understand, individual records do matter, but they're the icing on the cake. Those goal-scoring records, those club records, are the icing for the cake. We play this game to win silverware.
Right.
And the records, the individual records that come with it, are the niceties that you put on top of it. But without that silverware, I just feel that even if you break records, it still has a kind of hollow feel to it.
You can take, look, some of these records are great. You know, Harry Kane, Jimmy Greaves, fantastic player in his day, and all these other records. But guess what? Records are there to be broken and you can take them away. You can't take away the memories and the success of winning an FA Cup or a league or a Champions. You can't take that away. You've won it, that's it, and it's done. You can break a goal-scoring record now, but in 10 years' time, somebody might come along and break that record. That's not why we play the game, Jan.
I just want to get... I just want to get Ian involved.
Yeah.
Ian?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, I think it will gnaw away increasingly at Harry Kane if he doesn't pick up a trophy. I mean, everybody talks about Alan Shearer not going to Manchester United when they were ruling the roost, not winning all the titles he could have won there. But he did win one title, didn't he, at Blackburn Rovers, and then he chose Newcastle over Manchester United, chose to go to his home city and become a legend there. Nobody's ever forgotten Alan Shearer. 260 Premier League goals. Nobody's ever going to forget Harry Kane either. He's going to retire as England's record goal scorer and Tottenham Hotspur's record goal scorer as well, as a phenomenal player. But yeah, I think there will come a point, and it might be quite soon, where he does want to go to a trophy-winning club, because Spurs aren't, unfortunately for them, a trophy-winning club, and who knows how long Antonio Conte is going to stay there now.
Go on, yeah.
I think Alan Shearer is a good example. I think that there could be different reasons to do different things. He would knew that when if he knew that he will go to Manchester United, he would get a load of titles, but his dream was to be number nine for his Newcastle United. I think that the guarantee, and as Ian say, hey, I won it for Blackburn at that time, a great Blackburn team that season or that couple of three seasons. But so for Harry Kane, I think that Bayern Munich see that is their chance. They can get him, he can make a three-year deal there, he will end up with winning the Bundesliga three times, probably the Cup a couple of times, maybe the Champions League. So I think that is the big chance for him. England, the only guarantee in England would have been Manchester City. We have to be honest about that.
You just want this to go away, don't you? Because Alan Shearer keeps popping up. And after yesterday's show, where Stevie was the most excited I've ever seen him.
Yeah, and Ian, yesterday I forgot that Alan Shearer won the Premier League.
But just address something again about Alan Shearer. And while Jan is saying
he's loving
that
this.
Alan Shearer is a good parallel. It's a good parallel in hindsight. Alan Shearer joined a Newcastle team that just finished second, a team that should have won. So it's very different from the decision that Harry Kane is having to make right now with a Spurs team that doesn't look like he's going to win a title.
The decision was very different. They were in the Champions League final. They were in the Champions League. So isn't the parallel is not that bad, Shaka?
Right now, nobody sees Spurs winning anything. And we're talking about Harry Kane leaving Spurs right now. When Alan Shearer joined Newcastle United, Newcastle just finished second. They finished second again that season in 96-97. And so what I'm saying is it's a good parallel in hindsight, but if you look at it from Harry Kane's decision now and what Alan Shearer was deliberating when he had to choose between Newcastle and Manchester United, it's very different.
Yeah, but my point on Alan Shearer was that it's an individual thing also for the players, because Alan Shearer would have probably gone to Newcastle even when they were seventh in the league, because that was his dream to go back there, get to number nine in Newcastle, like his heroes from the Supermax to all the other stars they've had. So I'm just saying that could be individual. But Harry Kane showed when Manchester City were after him that he would have left Tottenham. I think that was for all to see there. So that is not that... he has said that before. I guess he knows. And I'm not sure if we ask Shaka, I don't know if you ask Alan Shearer, if he's very, very honest, he would love to have a 5-6 league titles for Manchester United if he regrets it. I don't know. I've never asked him.
It's interesting what Augie was saying yesterday, that actually the last time sort of Tottenham and Daniel Levy were playing all the cards and all the aces with the fee, and with the fact that when it gets to this summer, he's then got 12 months left.
Yes.
Okay, the age is going to be a little bit of a problem. He'll be in his 30s, but he'll be on a free transfer. If he, Harry Kane, the tables have almost turned, because if he pushes it in the summer, that fee has come down a lot. It has to. He's not going to get 130 million for him with a year left. So it's going to be interesting to see how Kane plays his cards. But certainly Tottenham are not in the position of strength, unless they want to lose him on a free in 18 months' time. They're not in the position of strength this summer as they were two or three summers ago.
Moving on from Harry Kane, this is a subject that Craig insisted that we spoke about today, Jan. This is the story that's coming out about Jorge Mendes and Cristiano Ronaldo splitting up and the reason behind it. Of course, this has been his super agent since he was at Manchester United, the reason being that he said, get me to Chelsea or Bayern or you're out.
Yeah, I don't believe spin. That is, first of all, that could be the other way around. That could be Jorge Mendes seeing that the thing that he did in that interview, what he did at Manchester United, he doesn't want to do anything to do with Cristiano Ronaldo. So this is all kind of spin. But like you said, this seems like a match in heaven. He's godfather to one or two of his children and so on. It's just sad when people come to the end of their career and they don't realize it themselves, and when the rats are leaving the ships, or the rat's gone the other way. I'm not sure about this, because this is so much spinning, and now it's all about who told who. And José Mendes will probably not sit there as a greatest agent on the earth saying, that was a great idea to be so enemy with Manchester United. It was so good of you to go to Piers Morgan. It was so good of you to go to Saudi Arabia. So I'm not sure about this spin, Dan.
That's it. Good. Let's talk about the FA Cup then, shall we? Just a reminder, we're at the fourth round stage of the competition. No doubt about what the biggest game is. Manchester City against Arsenal on Friday. That game live and exclusive on ESPN+. Saturday sees Ronaldo's old team Manchester United action against Reading, Spurs meanwhile away against Preston. And on Sunday, Brighton against Liverpool. And Monday sees Derby County take on West Ham. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Bayern Munich are still in search of their first win in 2023 as they can only manage a 1-1 draw against Cologne on Tuesday. It'd be Cologne who would open the scoring early on in this clash, and in the end it was a Kimmich blaster from 35 yards out that would give Bayern a point. This is what Julian Nagelsmann had to say after the draw.
Nagelsmann, thanks for joining us. Good to have Joshua Kimmich in one's team with such an amazing shot, isn't it?
It's an amazing shot, but at the end it's only 1 point, and that's not enough for us.
Yes, if we consider the situation from the beginning after 3 minutes, a set-piece situation from the opponents, the sixth goal after set-piece situation against Bayern, how do you explain this?
It was a good set piece, first of all, but how we get the set piece, that's the problem. It's not a situation where we have to get one, and then it's not that easy to defend on the second post. It's always difficult if there's a deflection on the first post, and sometimes you're not that quick enough on the second post to defend the situation. But at the end, as I mentioned, I think how we get the set piece, that's the problem, because we're behind of the opponent. We can stay a bit more calm and just recognize the situation, wait for the better situation for the duel, and then we did not get the set piece in such a situation.
So what does that mean? Well, it means that Bayern 4 points clear now of Leipzig after the victory for Leipzig. Eintracht Frankfurt, Union Berlin, Freiburg, all with a chance to close the gap as well. They're in action on Wednesday. For more on this, let's welcome in, shall we? Jan Arge Fjortoff joins us. Jan, what's wrong with Bayern?
Well, they haven't won a game this year. They haven't won a game since before the World Cup, if we put it that way. But I think they still do enough. I mean, that draw in Leipzig against maybe the main challenger this season, Marco Rose, has, got them going, and they're winning 6-1 now in Schalke today. And they are flying Leipzig, but Bayern took a point there. I mean, I think that the problem with Bayern at the moment is their own expectation. I always said that the only team that can beat Bayern is Bayern itself. And there's a lot of things going on at the moment. This game, the first half, they weren't good at all. And the second half, you see slowly they came into the game, although they didn't create a lot of chances. And then they needed a fantastic goal that Joshua Kimmich did there at the end, and then they took a point. But it was a point lost. Last time they lost a point, we thought next day Freiburg, who was second in the Bundesliga, they will have a big chance now playing in Wolfsburg. They lost 6-0. So, I mean, that is then and again, typical the Bundesliga, typical Bayern.
You alluded to the fact there's a lot of stuff going on at Bayern, Jan. Let's address one of those subjects now. They sat their goalkeeping coach. Why is this a big deal?
Because this is a soap opera, and it's a soap opera with keepers. First of all, after the World Cup, Manuel Neuer, as we know, went for a ski trip, which went into maybe take off the whole his career. So people are now thinking, could he be finished? And then they were looking for a goalkeeper. They got Jan Sommer from Gladbach, who is a great goalkeeper, 34, but still a good shoot stopper. They gave him a 2.5 years deal, meaning that they're not 100% sure if Neuer come back Bayern either. So then Nübel, who is on the Bayern's book, he's playing in Monaco, he started complaining about the goalkeeper, never got in touch with him. Then there were kind of rumors that he was only taking care of Ulreich, the second goalkeeper, and Manuel Neuer. And then I think the top of the iceberg was then he was also accused for leaking information from the dressing room and going against Nagelsmann. I'm not sure what's fact and what is just spin from Bayern, but he was fired today and he's been there for a long, long time. Tapalovic has been an institution there. And I mean, there are goalkeepers maybe in the studio can explain to us this relationship between a goalkeeping coach and a keeper. And maybe in this case, with Manuel Neuer and the goalkeeping coach, maybe now when it comes to an end of Manuel Neuer, it came too close for Bayern to stick with him.
It's huge. I think, listen, it's a big deal from a goalkeeping perspective. You, especially when you've worked with one coach for as long as Manuel Neuer has, you develop that kind of relationship, that understanding. When you've had this success, developmentally, that Manuel Neuer has, and established yourself as one of the best in the world, you need that. You need that support. You need somebody who understands you on and off the field. And this is a blow. And maybe Manuel Neuer's injury has got something to do with it, as Jan is suggesting. But just to lose a long-standing coach who you've had success with, I find that surprising.
And
Yeah. You all right?
Well, what I really didn't need today was a goalie conversation, to be honest.
Oh, well, there we go. Let's get moving on. I don't want to hear what you've got to say.
Shaq was talking there, and you couldn't have looked any more disinterested in his explanation.
Jan, I just want to talk about something else. I don't know how much you're on top of this. Salihamidžić has come out and criticised Serge Gnabry for going to Paris. What's this about? Can you give us anything more on this?
Well, this is a modern football dressing room. Xhaka, Craig and myself, we were happy if we could take the train to London, wherever we played. But these guys and these modern players, when they have one day off, 2 days off, they will sit in the dressing room, they will call up their private jet and they will ask the teammates, will you go to Paris or will you go wherever? And Gnabry went to Paris on his day off. And the German press, of course, reported it. And Salihamidžić is criticizing him for doing that. He should concentrate on his job. Gnabry doesn't have that great credit at Bayern, being the full professional fitness guy like a Joshua Kimmich, for example. But I think this is a symbol of these new players. I just heard a story the other day about the English Premier League, where the managers, or the manager, he doesn't dare to say that you will have a day off. He will say you will train on the Tuesday, because he is afraid to say that on Sunday, because on Monday then they will start doing all kind of organizing, going to south of France, or going to Dubai, go with their private jets and so on. And then they instead of that, just wait a couple of days and then say you will have tomorrow off, and then they can't organize it. And I think that is it's a funny kind of change in attitude from back in our days, where, well, the private jet, at least I couldn't afford that at Swindon and Barnsley, Middlesbrough and Sheffield United.
He was there for Fashion Week. Obviously, we saw Tchouaméni in Paris as well for NBA was criticised. Is that big a deal? Get on a plane for your day off?
Well, I'm getting a bit sick of all this. I mean, Tchouaméni the other day, Gnabry, there's a list as long as your arm. But one of the things we hear from managers and, I suppose, players and coaches is tiredness from travel, right? And guess what?
Yeah.
It's not exactly around the corner, is it? Jumping on a plane and going to a different country. And so, I suppose you could throw that at players and say, look, come on. Because, you know, you hear coaches when they've got games and they're coming back from a European game, be it a Champions League or whatever it is, saying, well, the travel's come out, it's not easy. So, as a player, you're just leaving yourself open to the coach saying, this was your day off, and you're entitled, I suppose, to do as you please within reason, but this is not the most professional thing to do in terms of preparation. But as Jan said, what are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at what you must have got off up to on your days off, suggesting that you just sat at home watching tape.
Well, we played golf.
But then I'm sure there was partying, you went out, you did what you would do.
Yes, but that was...
But that's okay because you didn't get on a plane to do it?
That was a different era.
Right.
I'm not. Listen, it's not okay. That was not the correct thing to do, but that was the generational thing that was done.
Right.
Generally, and as you grow up, and you watch others doing, but the game and the way that players and clubs and all these athletes look after themselves, it's just different. And what's expected of them is different now. I mean, that what went on 20 years or so ago just would not be tolerated now.
Right.
Let's get back to goalies.
Listen, I don't think it's a big deal. If it's Serge Gnabry's day off, I mean, I'm not sure how long the flight is from Germany to France, but if it's his day off, I have no issue
with it. 45.
I think the difference with Tchouaméni is he goes during a game.
Right.
And in that circumstance, I think if that's what you're doing, at least clear that with the club. But to the point Jan and Craig are making, while we didn't get onto private jets, we could jump in our cars and drive for 2 or 3 hours.
Right.
To go wherever else. And that wasn't perceived as being an issue. It's different now, but I don't see it as being that different.
Go on, Jan.
I don't think it's a No, I don't think that it's a matter of what you do and not what you do. I mean, my era, when I came to England, I mean, the days off were filled up with golf and a couple of pub visits, and the Wednesday was one of the greatest day of the week. But it's what's expected in 2023. That is not expected anymore. And if you see the situation now in Germany, I will take that isolated why Salah Hamid is reacting on this one. That is the backlash after the World Cup. The German national team embarrassed themselves there. There have been 3-4 weeks now of getting all kind of committees, internal, external. Rudi Völler, who is 62, he will lead that project as a head of sport. They're going to do a kind of attitude. I have no problem that the players do whatever they want in the private, but you have to read the room. And I don't think Serge Gnabry read the room in this case, going to Fashion Week in Paris.
Well, there's a simple way around this for clubs, right, to an extent. Each club can set their own rules and regulations for those players, and they clearly know what the parameters are. And if they don't want the players to travel on a day off to a different country, then they have that in their discipline. And if the players do it, then clearly they've gone out with those boundaries.
Right.
At the moment, he hasn't gone outside the boundaries of what is acceptable to the club. They're just talking about, as Jan said, reading the room. So if you want to clear these things up, make it clear to the players that if they want to do, whether we think it's a big deal or not, if you want to go to another country, jump on a private jet or a plane or whatever it is and travel, you need to have the club's say-so to do. Well, otherwise, don't.
He will have the club say so because, of course, it will be Bayern against PSG in the Champions League. The first leg.
Oh, the travel.
It's on Valentine's Day. I have to say, Jan, looking at those odds, I'm surprised Bayern are such strong favourites.
Well, we love the odds, don't we? Always England to win everything. But Bayern, I think that PSG will... this will be a very, very, very close game. But Bayern, with their ambition in the Champions League this year, this is going to be an unbelievable, and there is my first unbelievable of the night, unbelievable game. And Bayern will be very, very well prepared for the French stars.
Where do we stand on Mane, Jan?
Mane had his first session today. He tried to look as stiff as possible when he went onto the pitch, and he is very happy to see the snowy Bayern and the green pitch. He's ready. Hopefully not. He's not ready for the Saturday game against my Eintracht Frankfurt, but great to see him back after he missed out on the World Cup.
Valentine's Day, you say?
Yes, Craig.
Oh, shit, that's a problem.
It's a romantic day.
I don't know if I'm going to work that day. I'm going to mark it down.
Extra Time is available over on our YouTube channel, as always. Be sure to check out the boys stay late to argue about how tall Jules is.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Newcastle one step closer to win their first domestic trophy since 1955 after beating Southampton 1-0 in the first leg of the Carabao Cup. A pretty forgettable match in the end. It was Joe Ellington's goal in the 73rd minute that proved to be the difference between the two sides. The second leg at St James's next week. More on this, let's welcome in, shall we? Slightly disappointed as you welcome in Ian Dark, because there's no curtains today.
Yeah.
Or in bookshelves.
The curtains have been blacked. The curtains got out of bed the wrong side.
But the curtains would have been the most entertaining thing about this segment, really, considering this game was a little flat, wasn't it, Ian?
Well, you know, look, Newcastle aren't going to think anything was tedious about that because they've got a one-goal advantage to take back to what will be a seething St. James's Park next second leg. You know, like as you said, Dan, they haven't won a trophy domestically since 1955. I think they're determined to do it, and they've got the kind of team as well that could do it as well. I think what changed the game tonight was Callum Wilson, who had a poor game, really, never got involved. He was replaced by Alexander Isak, who's now getting himself back to full fitness, and you saw what he did to change the game and produce that goal for Joel Linton. I was interested in your pronunciation of, how did you pronounce it, Dan? It sounded like Duke Ellington.
Joe Ellington. Joe Ellington for Joe. And the reason, I'm not...
Joe Linton.
Yeah, I'm not a pedant when it comes to pronunciations, but literally at the top of my list here, it's our Brazilian researcher, and he wrote, Joe Linton is pronounced Joe Ellington. It's not pronounced Joe Linton.
Oh,
so there we go.
We've got
to your superior knowledge there.
It's not mine, it's Vitor.
Enough of Derek Ray.
Right.
Now Vitor.
Well, Vitor's Brazilian. It's fair enough.
Are we Brazilian? It's Joe Linton.
Right. Vitor.
Shall we talk about goalies again? Because that seems to be the flavour of the day.
Not really. What are you talking about goalies for?
10 clean sheets, that's pretty special.
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah?
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah. Well done.
10 clean sheets.
Right.
Amazing.
Yep.
Yeah?
Good.
Nick Pope, great goalkeeper now. I mean, he's getting better with his feet as well. I mean, there's a bit of a debate about whether he will now become the England number one ahead of Jordan Pickford. So, you know, like Craig says, that is astonishing, really. I mean, that's the thing people are missing, I think, with Newcastle. They just don't let in any goals.
And it's nice when you can play Southampton.
Yeah. Southampton didn't say that. Pope did have to make a couple of decent, very good saves. But Southampton, by and large, didn't threaten, especially when you consider that this is a cup semi-final, this is the first leg, you're at home. I expected so much more, but credit to Newcastle and to Nick Pope.
We're not a very good team, really, let's be honest about it. I mean, we were doing the live game, we had the manager was, we had an interview, well, we didn't, there was an interview that ran from the manager who said, we're close to being a very, very good team. That was Nathan Jones, that is. I mean, yeah, they're scrapping to stay up in the Premier League, and they may, right? But it's going to be a stretch. But they're just not a very good side. And the fact they're still in this is just down to Joe Linton's misses, to Willock's poor finishing. They should have been already two or three goals down. So, I mean, miracles do happen, but they're getting put out at St James's Park.
Joe Ellington's goal, then, the difference between the two sides as they go to the second leg next week. Meanwhile, of course, in the remaining semi-final, it is Nottingham Forest against Manchester United. That game live on ESPN Plus at 2:30 Eastern. Gio Reyna's first game, of course, since the World Cup, since all the soap opera around him, his family and Greg Berhalter went public. Jan, how much has that been picked up in the German media?
A bit. They're just laughing a bit, thinking that is a typical thing that can happen to parents or footballers. So it's not a big deal. But obviously, now when he scored that goal and his celebration, they had to explain the story again. But I think that, as the commentator said, it was a great answer from Gio Reyna.
That was Derek Ray, Jan. Give him some respect. Not just any old commentator.
Yeah, no, I heard Derek Ray today with Stefan Freund. He was brilliant, Derek Ray.
Oh, why are you giving so much love to Derek when Ian's on the show, Jan?
Well, it's all about pronunciation. Yeah. Ian's pronunciation is brushing up.
Jan, looking at it, is there any rumbling, any stories you've heard of Gio Reyna being a problem?
No. I thought that was... that was news for me where that happened. I mean, you've probably discussed that for ages in America. I haven't followed that very closely. If you asked about this in Europe, it's if you ask in Germany, it's not been a big thing that was registered. And then the manager just waiting who will be the US manager, and Gio Reyna hasn't done a lot. He's not a big talker anyway. This is not a guy who speaks headlines. Obviously, in the World Cup, something happened. But I think they're more like a smiling to this story, because they will say that this is not only typical American, they will say it's typical for parents, which word should be sorted by parents of seven-year-old and not by national team players.
Ian, looking at it, though, obviously a great response from him on the pitch, which is exactly what fans of him will want to see.
I think it was very unfortunate, everything that happened around that player at the World Cup. I think he is one of the most talented players, and he could have made a difference for the United States. But who knows really what happened inside the camp? I just thought it was a great shame that there was so much dirty washing that was that came out in public following that. Pretty unnecessary, really. They should have been keeping all that in-house. And I do feel sorry for Reyna, because he's the player who's got to carry on with his career after all that has become public knowledge, and his mother getting involved and everything like that. So, yeah, that was a big moment for him, that goal. It's so spectacular that it was as well. So I hope he can carry on and be the player we think that he can become.
Much more reaction to this on the latest edition of Football Americas with Seb and Reply All Hurt Gomez. Be sure to check that out on Plus now. Also on ESPN Plus over the next 48 hours, some brilliant games in Spain. Barca taking on Real Sociedad, Osasuna against Sevilla. Then on Thursday, it's Valencia against Athletic Club. And then the Madrid derby, Real Madrid taking on Atletico Madrid. Let's take a look at the predictions that the boys have made ahead of this game. Everybody is going for a Barcelona victory. Let's welcome back Ian, shall we, to look ahead to this game. You think about it, Ian, and it's interesting. Barcelona, Real Sociedad, you can be, okay, yeah, Barca victory, but Real Sociedad flying, 9 straight wins coming into this game.
Yeah, they won their last 5 in La Liga, and they're threatening to finish in the top 3 this season as well. I don't think they'll get to the top 2, which, of course, are Barcelona and Real Madrid. But Barca themselves, how impressive were they in that Super Cup final win over Real Madrid? They really did a number on them. They look like they're on the way back. I'm not going to say they are back, because they've got a big game against Manchester United in Europe coming up. But I think they are going to win La Liga this season. They look together. Xavi's doing a good job, and as well as Real Sociedad are playing, I don't think they're going to get the result away from home. If Barcelona are at it, and they have been at it mainly lately, I think they're going to edge the game.
They're going to have to up their game, though, from what we saw against Getafe.
Oh, they were horrible. But Xavi talked about it after. They've got to find a better way to break teams down that come and play 5 at the back and 4 in front and just block the edge of the box. That's where they've had problems. But guess what? Sociedad are playing well. Ian mentioned it. They're a confident team. They'll play a bit more of an open game. Lewandowski will be back because it's not a league game, so his suspension won't count. And there'll be more space to operate. And I think we saw just how well they did that when they played in the final in Saudi Arabia against Real Madrid. When there was space available, Barcelona were immense. So I think it's a different obstacle for them to get over than the one they had at the weekend against Getafe. And for those reasons, that's why I've gone for a 3-1 win for Barcelona.
One-legged tie. It should be fun, Shaq. It should be a great win.
Absolutely. So Sociedad playing, as you mentioned, playing with confidence, playing so well, so willing to take the game to Barcelona in a way that they wouldn't have done in previous years, and not many will do. Even now, and credit to them for that. But I think it's key, and Craig mentioned it, Lewandowski being back, because I was surprised at how disappointing they were against Getafe. Mm-hmm. This is an incredibly talented squad. You take Lewandowski up because of his suspension, and all of a sudden, so many of those players just look like they were searching for answers, and they lack direction. Lewandowski back solves all that, and you see Barcelona back to their best.
And then on Thursday, of course, it's the Madrid derby. Real Madrid taking on Atletico Madrid. Ian Dark will be on the call for that match for us on ESPN Plus alongside Steve McManaman. You take a look at it, surprisingly, it's completely even when these two have faced off in previous encounters. It's an interesting matchup for so many different reasons, as always. Ian, from a Real Madrid perspective, it's looking to try and continue this momentum that they've built up after that victory against Villarreal and, of course, the win against Athletic Club at the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, Real Madrid last season, we saw it time and again in the Champions League on that one way to winning the final. They kept getting out of corners, and they did that the day or in the game after their Barcelona defeat against Villarreal from 2-2 to win 3-2. Then they've had a nice win at the weekend away at Athletic Club, Bilbao. So, yeah, you may be thinking that they're through that. But they haven't been altogether impressive. And Atletico Madrid is as messy a season as they've had, probably produced their best performance in a long, long time at the weekend against Real Valladolid. They scored, I think, 3 in about 12 minutes in that game. So, you know, maybe Atletico are poised here to maybe just cause Real Madrid some problems.
Yeah, I think so. That should be a fascinating tie live on ESPN+. And then the action continues this weekend. Real Madrid then take on Real Sociedad. That the standout tie at 2:30 Eastern. Meanwhile, just one game in Italy today, but what a significant result it was. Lazio thrashing Milan by 4-0. I tell you what, Napoli are absolutely loving life at the moment. Everything seems to be falling into place for them. For more on that win for Lazio, let's welcome in Gab Marcotti. Gab, where should we start? How good Lazio were or how bad Milan were?
I think it's a bit of both, although, Dan, you absolutely nailed it there. I mean, if you're Napoli, what a week it was. Juventus with a 15-point penalty, Inter losing against Empoli on Monday night. And then this game tonight where Lazio absolutely thrashed Milan. Lazio, let's not forget, playing without Ciro Immobile, you know, the Serie A sort of top scorer, I think, over the last four seasons. And still, I think we saw vintage Sarri when it works, that short passing game, that quick movement. Milan looking absolutely beleaguered. They lost to Mori inside half an hour. And really just lacking in quality to the point that I think it was at the hour mark that Pioli said, all right, plan B, you know, change his three of his front four, sent on the Ketelaer, Salamakers, Divock Origi. But there was, sorry, Ante Rebic. But things didn't change. They stayed where they were. And Lazio adding two more goals there.
Napoli can't lose this now, can they, Gab?
I mean, never say never. Stranger things have happened. But there's no question the way they're playing. And interesting, fun fact for you, Dan. There's a weird mirroring going on between Napoli and Arsenal. Both teams have played 19 games. Both teams on pace for 100 points. Both teams with 16 victories, I think 2 draws and 1 defeat at this stage of the season. Both teams having scored roughly the same amount or similar amounts of goals. Almost Twilight Zone stuff.
Away from the title race, Weston McKennie linked to a number of moves to England, Gab, especially Leeds. How's it been looking for people who haven't seen him play so much this season for Juventus?
Obviously, he's had injuries when he's played. I think he had a really rough start to the season. Then when he's gotten on the pitch, he's had a few better games, but he's kind of been in and out. And I think he's very much been on the block for really the last 3-4 months. I mean, Juventus having accrued 275 million in losses last season. That's on top of the 230-240 odd that they lost the season before. You know, they're trying to monetize what they can, and Weston McKennie, because they didn't pay a lot of money for him, because he's still young, because, you know, he had a very good first season, and I think, you know, he shows glimpses that if he gets a good run and if he stays healthy, he can contribute. You know, he's looking at somebody that they can monetize. They have other players, of course, in the middle of the park, so they feel that, you know, he is somebody that might be expendable to them, although, I mean, that's in their current crisis situation. I'm not suggesting that, you know, that they're getting rid of him because they don't want him. It's just they need to raise money. And so that would fit the bill for a team like Leeds United. The thinking goes, presumably, I think Jesse Marsh being there plays a part of it, maybe the 49ers ownership as well. But McKennie's pretty openly been offered around Europe for the last couple months here.
Speaking of Leeds, their former manager, of course, linked to a move to Everton after Frank Lampard was sacked this week. And Everton side, of course, sitting level on points with Southampton at the bottom of the table. Reports are that Bielsa will get the job, wants the job, Gab, if they bring in lots of new players.
Yeah, who would imagine that? I mean, this to me seems bizarre, not because Bielsa isn't a good manager. He's a very good manager. I mean, he does things his own way. But his approach to football is so different from so many other managers, so different from Frank Lampard's. Really everywhere he's been, you know, he's kind of talked about, you know, needing to start in preseason and whatnot, and so that he can get the players fit and bring in the players he wants who can run and do what he wants them to do. And so it seems kind of bizarre because guess what? There is no preseason unless you're talking about championship preseason, unless you can get the results to get out Everton out of the jam that they're in right now. Obviously, Bielsa, a very fine coach. And it looks for now that Everton are going in that direction.
Nothing at this club makes much sense at the moment, I'm afraid. They've followed one bad decision with another and another and another. Allegedly, they're bickering behind the scenes at boardroom level about who should come in and the way forward, and the fans want a change of ownership and Bill Kenwright out and Mashiri and all this sort of thing. It's a mess.
Who would you have, Craig?
Do you know, I really don't know what their objective is. Short term, long term, just survive this season.
It's got to be survival, isn't it? Is Bielsa the answer?
Honestly, if you're looking at just survival for this season and you're looking no further, then it's Sean Dyche.
Right.
But that's only if you're looking. He comes in and he galvanises and he kicks people out the backs. I'm not just talking about who's better coaches and who's... Look, we know Bielsa's teams, right, are entertaining to watch, but are very open. This Everton team are losing enough goals. Yeah. So it depends what your objective is. And I don't actually know if they've got a plan, this football club. I really don't. I mean, it's a shame because it's a good place to go and play. Historically, they've had some great results. They've had some great teams, some great managers. But they've spent a lot of money over the last few years, but they've not spent it very well. So I just don't know what way they're going to go.
Ian, who would you have?
Well, not Bielsa, not at this point. That would be crazy, I think, because his style of working with a team is to play at 100 miles an hour. It would be like asking a string quartet to suddenly go through the Rolling Stones routine. I don't think they can suddenly do that with this squad of players halfway through a season. Maybe in the summer. So maybe the answer is to go with a caretaker till the end of the season, somebody experienced, maybe somebody like Sean Dyche. But Sean Dyche's last job was at Burnley. Great job there, but they went down in the end. You know, Sam Allardyce, last job, West Bromwich Albion, they went down in the end. So there are no guarantees. I'll tell you something about Everton. They've sacked Frank Lampard, and yeah, his record probably said they had to make the change. I'm not sure about it myself. I think the problem's the players. They haven't got anyone who can put the ball in the back of the net. Nobody scored more than 3 goals for them in the Premier League this season. And until they rectify that, and unless they rectify that, they will be losing their place in the top flight.
We'll say thank you very much to Ian. Ian will be back with us for extra time. Thanks to Gab as well. A lot more from Gab, of course, as always, on the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast, which is available to listen to now over on the website. What a weekend it is on ESPN Plus. Starts on Friday, City against Arsenal. You've got the Berlin Derby in Germany. You head to Spain then for Girona against Barcelona. Bayern against Frankfurt. Shaka Hislop leading the studio coverage there. Wrexham against Sheffield United. And it's Real Madrid against Real Sociedad. A great couple of days of action here on Plus. Last thing, this is Portugal under 23. It's never good when the goalie picks it up here. Oh, what's he? Oh,
no! What's this striker doing here? Guess, look at his reaction here. Look.
Wow! He's got some
my
bottle
word.
In him.
Wow!
He's got
my
some.
Word.
Not it's a 2-1 as well.
Oh, why didn't we lead with that? That's been
right,
the best.
Start the show again.
That
there
was
we
the
go.
Best bit of the show today.
Well, the standard was low. That is it.
Slim pickings today, lad.
Oh, there's something. Oh, it's happening again. Oh,
hey,
it's
happening
again. Oh, it's your fault. Yeah, get too excited. I was ready to go.
See, that's it. That's what we do this, but we get carried away.
You were the one who
I'm loving this.
Yeah, I was just trying to pad.
Oh, we didn't have to pad. We done it. Oh, we finished. There we go.
Hey, right. Nobody does overkill like us.
Okay, don't say anything.
I'm done.
That's it. Right.
Extra time?
Yes. Do you want me? Extra time is next. Jan and Ian back with us. Stay tuned. Welcome into the. What are you doing?
A Stevie from yesterday.
Yeah, Stevie had some chair problems yesterday.
Alan Shearer! When I tuned in yesterday, I went, Shaq's up.
Shaq's
Stevie was down here like this.
Craig and Shaq are here.
I've done the whole thing like this, you know.
Oh, well done. Good.
It looks good, doesn't it?
Good. Hey, hey. Welcome to my world.
Well, I've no cushions. Hey's the belly, though, you know.
There
it's quite are. Good. Right, everybody down.
Yeah, not the chins. Jan is here, as is Ian. Ian, where are the curtains? What's happened?
Well, I just thought it was time that they were pensioned off, really. So we're in a new venue tonight. We're trying out a new venue.
Oh, wow. And what's the floral arrangement behind you?
Well, I've got this nice plant here.
Yes.
The Karate Kid.
I've got a few boring football books behind me.
Oh, no.
Have
you got Stevie's? Have you read Stevie's book yet?
Not yet. No, is it good?
Yeah, it's good. It is actually very good. It's only been out for 6 years, Ian. Don't worry.
Yeah, don't worry. You can get it on Amazon for about a penny now, Ian.
Well, have you got me a copy yet?
How are you, Jan? You're back in Norway? Oh, wait, Ian's saying something. Can't really hear him.
I'm back in Norway, and Ian is like that teacher in Karate Kid. He looks like him, and he got the same plant, doesn't he?
Okay, right. It's an interesting version you must have seen. Ask Craig about six-tier Darvel beating Aberdeen in the Scottish Cup. Sure you have some local knowledge.
Yeah, the Ayrshire Juniors.
How big a story is this?
Huge.
That's the one I was looking for.
Right. Mm.
Big words, I love big words like that.
It Darvel. Was
Darvel. Darvel. It's the juniors, non-league. We call it the juniors in Scotland. Huge, beating Aberdeen. I mean, put it one way. It's a 3 hour or so bus journey back to Aberdeen. They would have been gone midnight when they get back. I would have expected there would have been a nice welcoming party.
Apparently they went out in Glasgow to celebrate.
No, I'm talking about Aberdeen.
Oh, I see.
A welcome party.
Oh.
A waiting, that's how big
really?
It was.
Isn't really?
I mean, like...
Irony from Craig.
All right, yeah.
Sorry.
All right.
Sorry.
I mean, hey,
sorry.
I tell you what, how many Norwegian comedians are there?
Sorry, Craig. I think when he asked you about Darvel, you started so weak. You started, yes, Aberdeen lost. Yes, this amateur team. But then you increased your knowledge of partying when I came back from Aberdeen. So thank you.
Oh, thanks for that appraisal.
You grew up around that area?
Yeah, Stevie as well.
Right.
Air.
I was trying to, Ayrshire, Ayr, Troon, Darvel, all the junior teams. I was trying to think of my old boy, used to play for them because he played for a few. But yeah, it's huge. I mean, just a huge result. I don't know if the Aberdeen manager, Jim Goodwin, has lost his job or not, but that was what the talk was. Yeah, it was a big one.
It was huge.
In fact,
it was unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Did you play for Bon Accord at all up in the Scottish Cup? They were the team that lost 36-0 to Arbroath, weren't they?
Oh, dear.
One second, I'll get back to you on that one. Bloody commentators.
You played in a side that lost 36-0?
I never played for Bon Accord.
Oh, okay.
Did Ian say I played for Bonacco?
I think it was Arsenal.
Shots. He asked if you played for Bonacco.
Shots Bonacco.
Wow, okay.
The juniors, I used to, actually growing up as a kid, I used to go to more junior games to watch than any professional games.
You call them juniors, but it's senior players.
Yes, yeah,
it's Scottish sense. Well done. Right, Jan, which...
Oh! What? I haven't finished the story I was going to tell. I'm not going to tell it now.
Oh, right, for
that's
Jan.
A good one as well.
Jan is all over this on Twitter. He's gone from Jadon Sancho now, from Haaland now to Team Jude Bellingham. Which club do you see Bellingham fitting in best, Jan?
Well, first of all, he will fit in everywhere. But what is interesting with the Bellingham debate is that he's very, very professional. He hasn't said anything in the media. He's playing well for Dortmund, although he's suspended tomorrow against Mainz in the Tuchel-Klopp derby. But I'm not sure what he's fit best, because he will fit in everywhere. It's so easy to say, Liverpool lack a midfielder, he can go there. Real Madrid gone with Kroos and Modric, some old midfielders. And the outsider here is Manchester City, who likes to do their business quietly. So where he fits best, he will fit everywhere. This is the hottest property in football right now. So let's take it from there.
God, I thought my answer in Darvo was better than that, Jan.
Look, Craig, you and Steve are both from Ayr. My son played in Ayr. So I was there. I was in Ayr. And I know you're a legend there. I'm not sure you're a legend both on and off the pitch.
I was back in Ayrshire when your son got sent off for Ayr in the Scottish Cup. It was on TV Friday night.
Yeah.
You remember?
Yeah, and don't remind me, said the other day, because he had a fantastic shot after 15 minutes and he was the centre half and he thought, wow, the world is okay. And then he got sent off, exactly, yeah. I'll remind him on that.
I could recommend a couple of places if you need to go in air, just to eat at restaurants.
Ian, was it too early and premature for Frank Lampard to leave Derby County?
Leave Derby County. So we've moved on from this week's story to go back to Derby County. Well, he might have benefited from spending a bit more time as a championship manager and maybe learning the business at that sort of level. But, you know, like they offered him the Chelsea job and he probably thought, you know what, this might be my one and only chance to manage the club where I starred. So he took that opportunity and can you blame him really?
Yeah, but sad news for all. I think it's sad news for English managers at the moment, because if you see Lopetegui, he will do well for Wolverhampton. Emery will do well for Aston Villa. And it's so sad for English managers because they don't seem to succeed for them.
Here we go. Proper extra time question for you, Shaka. Who has the better hair, Jan or Ian?
I'm going to go with Jan's. I'm going to go with Jan's because we could cut Jan's to match Ian's.
Oh, there you go.
Oh,
Ian's got lovely head of hair, though. Right. With news, some players at Everton have refused to show up to training. What is the wild excuse you've used or heard to get out of a practice session?
Oh, I got
one. Anything spring to mind, Jan? Go on.
Yeah, I was at Lillestrøm. I was a team manager and I had a striker called Haddad, and he didn't turn off for the reserve team, and he came to Ove Røsler, who played for Manchester City and Southampton. He was the manager, I was the team manager, and he said that he had to go back to Sweden to do a fight game in the streets, so he couldn't come. There was a lot of money involved, and he explained really an episode from one of these fighters series somehow, and I said to him, that's the biggest lie I have ever heard in my life, so we'll get away with it. And it was like an amazing story, and he said that's why he couldn't go to the reserve game.
He had to go back for a street fight that was organized for him.
Yes, it was organized for him by the mafia in Stockholm, where he was based. And
that's
he said
game.
He had to do. You asked me for a story. I'm telling you a story, my friend. He said that story to me, and I had to sell to him. I was so much laughing, and I couldn't even find him.
Wow. God, that's all about setting the bar high when it comes to excuses. Street fight organized by the mafia.
Yeah, and he said, and I said, are you not afraid for your girlfriend? And he said, I swear to God, quote, he said, no problem, because my uncle is in Hell's Angels and he will protect her. So this is Lillestrøm in Norway.
Goodness gracious me. Wow.
It's hard to remember. I'm sure there are. I just can't think off the top of my head.
Did any of the Trinidad and Tobago boys make up any excuses?
I don't think they made up. Everybody just knew. So there was this one incident that everybody knew when Dwight and they played Canada.
Yep.
Trinidad and Tobago played Canada. Trinidad qualified for the Hex. They had a helicopter to take all the players, both from Trinidad and Tobago and Canada, to the airport to get the flight back to England. The Canadian players made it, but the Trinidad and Tobago players didn't.
Oh.
So that was kind of hard to explain for the Trinidad and Tobago players.
Where did they go, Shane?
They went to a little club called Pelican, which is no longer there. I wasn't a part of this part. I was injured,
right.
Hasten to add.
Right.
But obviously now the questions are like, hold on. So the boys were trying to, the flight was delayed. They were trying to find all kinds of excuses. Right. But then by the time they land, they realized they had no excuse because all the managers knew all the Canadian players were back in England.
Right.
Now you're trying to make what players were. So,
do you want to tell us any more about the Pelican?
It's no longer there.
Right.
That's all I've got to tell you, Dan.
Right.
It's now a hotel called the Bricks.
Oh,
yes.
There you go.
I had to play a part, actually, in the Rangers players, some of them making it back for training.
Oh.
McCoy's been one of them. I think Durant been another, and there was a few. Walter Smith was the manager, and he'd given them 3 or 4 days off over a long weekend. There was no game, and they decided they were going to go to Vegas.
Okay.
So I'm flying from London to Glasgow and they're on the same flight. They've just flown in from Vegas and it's late. And Walter had said to them, do as you like, go to Vegas. If you're not back for training, at 10, there's going to be a fight. There's going to be trouble. Fines, there's going to be blood spilled. Well, the flight was late and McCoy's come up to me and went, Dimmy, do us a favour, will you? He said, will you get our bags off the carousel?
Oh, really?
And they basically got off the flight and ran. Walter's going to kill us. And I'm at the carousel picking up 3 or 4 of the Rangers players' bags just so they can make it to training time.
Brilliant.
See that?
Yeah.
There are good Samaritans out there.
What could have possibly gone wrong in that scenario?
You just call yourself a good Samaritan there?
Yes. Well, nobody else was going to call me.
Ian, any stories that you've heard spring to mind?
Of what, players and training?
Yeah, and excuses.
Not so much excuses, but I've heard players. There used to be a player at Wimbledon called Duncan Jupp, who used to play right back. And he wasn't excused from training, but he used to turn up and be the best player in training every single day. Looked like he was like a new Roberto Carlos. Saturday, any time he got in the team, it was absolutely hopeless. So they christened him Morning Glory.
Very good.
There was one of my old teammates told me a story about a player who wanted to miss a match.
Okay.
Because he was so nervous. Then he said he was the type of player, I won't mention his name, he was the type of player, he used to say to him, I just don't want to play. You know when players are so nervous? It happens, you know.
Right.
Don't want to play in front of 60,000, I just don't want to play. What if I put my foot in the car door and you shut it, but just not hard enough, but you know what I mean? All that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Trying to fight.
It's a Wayne Bridge story, isn't it?
Is it?
Didn't he ask Nadim to injure him in training so he could have the weekend off and go wherever it was that he had planned?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes. I may have got the names wrong in that story.
That's
Alan Shearer.
Yes.
Allegedly. Yeah, you have to say allegedly.
And then Alan Shearer came along.
No rumour.
Legal has just messaged to say allegedly.
Will the likes of Chelsea and Liverpool be able to attract big players even without Champions League football for next season? Also, where do Napoli and Arsenal land on Xhaka's power rankings? Are they out on Thursday, Shaq, power rankings?
No.
Where have they been?
Where have they been?
Craig's about to close a car door on my foot.
Oh.
I'm injured. I'm going to be injured for Thursday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's what it is.
I'll not put that chair back up.
That's it.
Too big. Where are your rankings, by the way? Seriously?
Right, will it put people off? Chelsea, Liverpool.
I think Chelsea will spend. It will spend enough to attract people, regardless. And even if Liverpool miss out, I still think that damage isn't that bad to Liverpool as a brand. One season being.
Do we read too much?
Who's higher in the power rankings then, Napoli or Arsenal?
I don't know. I'll have to check my my data, Dan.
Algorithms.
My algorithms.
Jan, how many world-class players does it take for a national team to become competitive? Surely, with Odegaard and Haaland, Norway will start competing at a much higher level over the next decade.
Yeah, I get often asked that question because they can't believe that we are so bad. But our problem is that we have trouble at the back. We don't have a regular goalkeeper. He's a reserve goalkeeper now in Leipzig. And I would love to see our national team going to an event. I mean, the next Euro, I mean, every team in Europe will be more or less qualified, except the Vatican State. It seems that everybody got a chance. So, but the problem we have, I don't think there is any team in the world who have such a good class of player like Ødegaard and Haaland, and then the rest of them. We have Sander Berge in midfield doing well for Sheffield United. We have Alonso who's played for Southampton, but in a broader respect, we have no defenders. Sorry to be harsh on my Norwegian fellow Norwegians, but we don't have good defenders.
Final question, Ian. Have you ever fallen asleep calling a game? Xhaka somehow went to Qatar to a Morocco game where the fans were the loudest and went to sleep.
Yeah, but what? Xhaka wasn't commentating.
No, no.
No, he wasn't. No.
What Morocco game was it, Xhaka?
I don't know, he fell asleep.
Morocco-Croatia.
It was the third, fourth.
Yeah, Morocco-Croatia it was.
Great game.
It's cozy.
The hardest game.
It's a cozy stadium.
I fall asleep in, because they're the ones you've got to try and keep interesting. There were one or two over the years where you might easily have dropped off, but of course my job is not to.
Oh, well, well done, Ian, for not falling asleep. Yeah.
But they said, Dan Romario, when he played in by PSV, there was a game that we were winning 6 or 7, and he probably scored 3 or 4. They swear to God that he had fallen asleep in the game, standing in the attack. And Dutch player told me that. They said, we played against him, and he was standing on the 18-yard box, sleeping. And it may be a true story.
Yeah. Player fatigue. That's why you need 5 subs.
Yeah, exactly.
You're
in a game, Shank?
No.
But you're the only person on this crew that probably could pull that off.
Yeah. Fall asleep when you go and I. And it's in.
I mean, but which aspect of this discussion?
Okay, I think we've done it. I think we've got
the sleeping aspect.
That is it. We are done. Jan, Ian.
Well, did you just say we got through it?
Yes, I did. Yes. Really? We will be back tomorrow to reflect on Barcelona in action against Real Sociedad, Manchester United against Forest as well. Plus, we're looking ahead in a little more detail to the Madrid derby.